We're going to continue on with this Simply Profound sermon series. It is no doubt God in the middle of this season for me, and I hope for you, expressing what we need to remember in seasons like this. And this is just this, that following him is simply profound. We need to get back to the basics. What does the church need to do in this place, in this next 4 years, this next 8 years, this next 20 years? The church needs to get back to the basics. The church needs to get back to the fundamentals. The church needs to get back to being all about Jesus. The church needs to get out of the political game, out of the entertainment game, and we need to get back to the foundations and the fundamentals of Jesus, his word, him and him alone, his Holy Spirit. Amen? And today we're going to talk about prayer. Everybody say prayer. One of the things that I have been dumbfounded by the most in my walk with Jesus is this. Is not only can I be saved and not go to hell. Everybody agrees that's a good thing. Most of you agree that's a good thing. We are free from hell by Jesus, but I'm so sorry that that's been preached and the entirety of the gospel stops there. Because freedom comes through knowing Jesus, surrendering your life to him, not going to hell, but there's so much more that happens on the face of this earth. One of those things is the fact that we can communicate with the God of heaven. We talked about the Holy Spirit a couple of weeks ago, like the Holy Spirit lives in us. God lives inside of us. Like to think about that, and then he communes with me and he speaks to me and I can speak to him. It's dumbfounding. Prayer is one of those things that has become this heavy obligation that hangs people in guilt most of the time instead of this opportunity to literally talk to the God of heaven, to talk to the Lord. It's like marrying my wife and never saying anything to her beyond those times where I'm justifiably right and she's always wrong and I play the cold treatment for 3 days just like Jesus would. It's not true. But prayer is beyond more than a blessing for us. It's absolutely necessary. Martin Luther said this. He says, to be a Christian without prayer is no more possible than to be alive without breathing. There's no way a believer, a follower, a lover of Jesus can be connected, could be walking in the power and the anointing of him and him alone if you are not having a prayer, a conversation, an ongoing link between you and the Lord. And here's my heart's desire. I would just like to dumb down and simplify what it is to be men and women of prayer. We've made it so complicated and the these and now. So many new people are so afraid to pray in public or afraid to feel like you're unworthy to pray to the God of heaven. And I'm telling you, all of that is demonic junk coming against people. When you realize that it's conversations with the God of heaven, that we have reverence, but there's joy, there's freedom, that he speaks back to us, it's a game changer. It's also God's mandate. So Jesus, this is his kung fu passage when he goes into the temple and he starts, wah! He went all Bruce Lee on the entire system, right? Mark 11, 15 through 17. Listen, they came to Jerusalem and he entered the temple and began to drive out those who sold and those who bought in the temple. And he overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold pigeons. Gosh, those pigeons. And he would not allow anyone to carry anything through the temple. And he was teaching them and saying to them, is it not written? This is why he's angry. My house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations. But you have made it a den of robbers. Jesus was quoting Isaiah 56, verse 7, when God's speaking through the prophet Isaiah, and God is proclaiming over the people of Israel that his house, his temple, shall be called what? A house of prayer. And listen, what does he say? What doesn't he say first? When God talks about this, and so for us, how does that look? Well, that was the temple. That would be the house of prayer. But his house is who now? We are God's house. This place is God's house, not the building, the people, the church. And his command for us is this, that we shall be a house of prayer. Inside of your heart should be a house of prayer. Inside of this building should be a house of prayer. In our house churches should be a house of prayer. In our discipleship should be a house of prayer. In our missions should be a house of prayer. In our dealings with hell on earth should be a house of prayer. But listen to what he didn't say. He said, first and foremost, my church shall be a place of outreach. My church shall be a place of programs or good worship or missions. First and foremost, he says, my house will be a house of prayer. Why? Because unified marriages, outreach, missions, programs, life change, spirit-driven things, none of them survive or work without prayer first. It's the doorway. It's the doorway. And people say, well, how do I get power in my life? And I say, well, what is your prayer life like? Or when I'm struggling with fruit in my life, what is the problem? Usually I can trace it back to a prayer. It's a disconnect between me and God when the God of heaven is saying, hey, this isn't so complicated. I love you. I just want you to seek me first. I want to have these daily conversations with you. It's my heart. Jesus declared that the atmosphere of God's house is prayer. So here's the deal. If we're not praying and we're not a people of prayer, we are missing the mark. But here's the beautiful thing is that we have an opportunity to grow in our love and practice of prayer. If today, if I say, how's your prayer life? And you say, that's a great answer. Because is the doorway to saying, God, I want more. God, I want more. It's never my intention to beat you up and make you feel bad because I get hit on this one too. And what I want is closeness with Jesus. What I want is power with Jesus. I want to hear the voice of God. I want to pray and the earth would shake like it did in the book of Acts when the church prays together. We are a people who believe, love, and walk in the power of prayer. That is our declaration over us as a church. Amen? So here's what the scriptures say about prayer and why it's important to us. We're just going to run through this. Number one, here's a simple reason to pray. Jesus tells us to pray. Jesus tells us to pray in Luke 18:1. And then he told them a parable to the effect that they might ought always to pray and not lose heart. Jesus knows he's going away and he tells his guys, guess what? Pray. Don't lose heart. Pray, be connected to me. I won't be here, but you can be with me as you pray. And here's the thing about Jesus. Not only did he say it, but he modeled it. Can you believe that God himself, when he came to earth, was more of a raw, just an outrageous man of prayer than anybody else to look at in the scriptures? I mean, Jesus prayed everywhere. Jesus prayed for others. Jesus prayed with others. Jesus prayed alone. Jesus prayed outdoors. He prayed indoors. He prayed for long periods of time. Jesus would go out and he would pray all night long. And then other times it was just short words of prayer to his Father. I mean, Jesus was our example of praying. If Jesus should pray, who else should pray? And by the way, Jesus' prayers was an amazing act of submission to the Father because Jesus was God, yet he knew his place on earth. And that was, I don't want to do anything you don't want me to do. I don't want to say anything you don't want me to say. I don't want to go anywhere you don't want me to go. I want you. Jesus models that for us. Amen? Jesus was a man of prayer. Here's the next thing. Everyone has access to prayer. I don't know where, when I first became a believer and I would see people pray, and this is a while ago, but you would have the Lord, thou is the greatest upon thine earth, and Lord, may thou shake thine foundations of, you had to speak in King James to pray. I don't even understand it. And so I was very intimidated going, I can't pray like that dude. I can't pray like that lady. So I would pull back. And then I started to realize, and I started to look to the scriptures like, prayer is not this outstanding oracle of things about the Lord. Prayer is communication with him and everyone has access. James 5, 17 through 18 tells this odd story. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. What does that mean? He had knucklehead syndrome. He was a man. He had flesh. He was busted just like us. And he prayed fervently that it might not rain. And for 3 years and 6 months, it did not rain on the earth. Then he prayed again and heaven gave rain and the earth bore its fruit. Why on earth was that there? Common people can pray. If you think you're unworthy, guess what? If you're too much of a sinner, I can't talk to God because I'm a sinner. I appreciate the answer. Your answer is clear. The answer is you don't know what the gospel says. The gospel says that he who knew no sin became sin so that we might become the righteousness of God. And so that means if you are a follower, you've surrendered your life to Jesus, all of the stuff in the way, all the brokenness, all the chasms between you and Jesus in prayer have been broken. Every solid Jesus-loving thug, criminal, ex-murderer, adulterer, no matter what it is, in Jesus' name, You have access. Now, some people will say, well, what about when I'm living in the middle of sin and I know I'm a follower of Jesus? You have access, but the escalator to get back into that communion and that fold is called repentance. But God does not want you not to, many of us are like, I'll just talk to God when I'm done sinning. Right? It doesn't work that way. Everybody has access, and Jesus' blood has narrowed. And not only does the scripture say that God allows you to speak to him, he longs for you to speak to him. And some of you in this room have heard 10 million sermons on prayer, and 1,000 of those came from me. And some of you never heard it before. My prayer is that you never heard it before. You would grow in a heart for prayer. And my prayer for you old generals and saints and all you are would be reminded that our prayer, we have full access to the kingdom and God wants us to pray. Amen. Here's another one. Prayer, as we looked at the scriptures, and this is sweet. Prayer is just conversation with our Father. We all know the text in Romans 8, 15 through 17. If not, I'll read it for you. Just talking about you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons by whom we cry, Abba, Father. That word there, as you many know, but some of you may not, that word Abba means daddy. It is a sweet term of reverence and adoration. It's not like a father. That's my father, but that's my daddy. It's just a word, but it symbolizes an emotion that's tender and open and loving and sweet and kind. I will say this. The Lord has revealed that to me through my kids. They might not always think I want to hear what they have to say. And sometimes I'm not overly appreciative of the content upon which they're saying. And sometimes I've not been a good dad, and I've already made all the jokes, but seriously, I don't want to hear about Minecraft anymore. I don't want to hear about this and that. I have sons that, you know, fight over, you know, worship songs. What key is that energy? I mean, it's just this continual thing, and that's a blessing. But here's the thing. I love to sit across from my daughter at breakfast, my younger daughter, my older sons, my younger sons. I love to hear what they have to say. I love their voice. I love as they grow up and they start to have certain points and opinions. I don't agree with all of their points and opinions, by God. There can't be as right as their father. But dads, moms, and for those of you who have been adopted moms and dads, listen, your heart's desire to speak to your little ones and hear what they have to say is 10,000-fold with the God of heaven, right? Like tenfold. And the scriptures say we can do this. We can go confidently to him. Hebrews 4:16, let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace that we might receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Here's another one. The Lord answers our prayer. Interesting verses in the scriptures. 1 John 5:14-15. And this is the confidence that we have toward him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the request that we asked of him. Here's this quote I want you to hear. This, growing in prayer means that we come to understand that prayer is about his will becoming our will. Now, that is a great, grandiose platitude statement. But here's how this fleshes out. The Lord says, whatever you ask in my name, it's yours. And so number one, does God grant good gifts to his kids when they ask? Does he? Answer the question. Yes, he does. We've prayed for things and we've prayed for our babies and God has answered. We've prayed for the church and God has answered. We prayed for sweet gifts for God to pull our rear out of horrible financial situations. God has answered. We've prayed for God to bring healing and he's done those things over and over and over again. But the misconception that we have to know is this. We pray in full faith, but here's the caveat to this. The only place this gets skewed is that when we want his answers, we get our hearts set on him answering how we want him to answer. I wish to God that every time we prayed for someone to be healed, that they were healed. We've been on both sides of that. We prayed for my grandmother, who many of you know years ago had stage 4 cancer in her chest, wasn't a believer. We prayed for weeks. And when we prayed for weeks, God healed her. And we rejoiced. Years later, she passed away. We've prayed for other people, like my dear friend Ann Nagy. She was 36 years old. She had 3 babies. Funny story is I helped deliver her 3rd baby. It was awkward, asking me about it later. Dad was a pilot and he was gone and I filled in. It was the weirdest thing in my life. But it was a special moment between her and I and the baby and the odd doctor. But we prayed feverishly for her not to die when she was 36 and leave 3 little boys. And we can have a tendency to look at that, and many of you know the right answers, and we will celebrate the right answers when things are going our way still, even as faithful believers. But when things seem to not go, there's something in our heart that goes, why, God? And by the way, I think God is a big enough God to answer your why. Don't you ever hide your why from him. He is willing and able to answer. Amen? But here's what... here's what we believe. We believe that God always answers the prayers of his children. Always. But we, unfortunately and fortunately, don't get to dictate what his answer is or how he answers it. Some of us, we've prayed the greatest healing over people that we long that were here, but you know what? They're absolutely healed. They're absolutely healed, right? And just because we can't see it, we put so much stock in the scene and ask why God didn't move. And God's like, what are you talking about? Stop seeing with your eyes and see with faith and see the totality of what I've done. I've buried Jen's grandma, mom, and dad in the last 7 years. And we prayed feverishly for every single one of them to be free of what they were going on, they would be healed and they would still be here with us. It's our first Christmas without any of them. And in the end, what I know is that God did heal. Tammy Hamilton is beyond healed now. Warren Hamilton is beyond healed now. Alice is probably still grouchy, but beyond healed now. Amen? And so when we look at people and we go, why, God? Why won't you? Why? And in the end, I think the Father, he told us in the scripture that he answers and he gives us things, but it's according to his will. When you ask things according to his will, he answers. Prayer is not about you swaying the heart of God. It's about swaying your heart to the will of God. When we connect ourselves to the Lord, Mike, I don't know why he doesn't answer the way we want him to every time. But I know he always answers the way that we never could have imagined it happens. Amen? So on the face of this earth, when people say, well, you're Christian, you still have bad stuff happening, that's because of the curse. It's because of death. It's not because people prayed. And I just got to be careful. I've already overstepped my bounds once today. But just like prosperity things, like people telling people that you don't have enough faith to be saved, do not ever say that to me. You will get holy punched. I don't even know what that looks like. Like, I know sometimes faith is the issue, but I've also seen beautiful women of God battling in their faith of their lives for their life and longing to be with their children. And ignorant people with a misview of the scriptures will tell them you would be healed if you just had more faith. That is dangerous. God is a healing God and he always heals. But when you start to dictate what side of heaven that comes on, you have a misrepresentation of what the scriptures say. And I wouldn't really hit you, I'm a Christian. But I'd really think about it. You know, here's the funny thing. Listen, even Jesus prayed knowing his prayers weren't going to be answered his way. You ever think about that? When Jesus is in Gethsemane, he prays 3 times, God, take this cup from me. If it's your desire, God, take this cup from me. He didn't want to go through what he went through, but in the end, what made him faithful? His words were, yet not as I will, but as you will, God. Jesus prayed knowing God wasn't going to answer the way he wanted him to, but he knew in God's greatness what he was going to go through was so much better. Now, imagine if God said, okay, son, okay, I don't want you to go through that. Step back, rule the earth with fervor and fear and with majesty. Then what would have happened? We wouldn't be here. And the scripture said, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross. That's us. That's our freedom. That's us walking. That's the redemption of God's people. If Jesus could pray sometimes and it doesn't turn out the way he penned it in his mouth, that could happen to us too, because God's got greater glory on the other side. Amen? Here's 45 more things about prayer. Prayer is where we go when we get overwhelmed. Philippians 4, 4 through 6, popular verse. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God, and the peace of God which surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. If you're having a hard time and struggling this week, or you've been struggling for months or years, the place to go is not to sex, not to money, not to food, not to relationships. The place we go, even though things seem skewed, is to the feet of Jesus. Like, that's where he calls us to go. And here's the deal. People think that God is so far away that he's just ruling on the throne, when the scriptures say he is ruling on the throne and he is near, and he deeply cares about what you go through. He deeply cares about the battles in front of your life. He deeply cares about how your heart hurts. It's in the scriptures. 1 Peter 5, 7, casting all your anxieties onto him because he hates you. No, because he cares for you. Psalms 18, 6, in my distress, I called to the Lord, to my God. I cried for help from his temple. He heard my voice and my cry to him reached his ears. Do you think a good father hates the sound of the brokenness in his children's voice? Real suffering? No. He wants you to engage him when your heart is broken. And some of you will say, well, if that's the case, then I'd be praying all the time. Yep. Right? I don't know how many times this week my mind would start racing with the world and I'd be like, oh, not again. Sorry, Jesus. God, please come and fill this place. Come, please come and help my mind. A million times if I was just the best over-exaggerating pastor on the face of the earth. Here's another one. Prayer is an opportunity to be real and open before him. We have got to get out of the mindset that we come to the throne room of grace perfect, therefore everything's good. Right? Right? Like, listen, we everybody knows the story. Some of you may not. Some of you have never heard some of these stories. That's why I share them again. In Luke 18, 9 through 14, it's how Jesus told this parable, the story to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and treated others with contempt. Two men went into the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. One is a Pharisee, he's the religious man of the hour. He takes the law to a T, and a tax collector in those times were hated because they completely, they weren't just like tax people now. They betrayed the people of Israel for the Romans for their own financial gain. They were hated. The Pharisee, standing by himself, prayed thus, God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. That's a crappy prayer service. And I fast twice a week. I give tithes and all I get. But the tax collector, standing far off, would not even lift up his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me. I'm a sinner. And Jesus said, listen, Jesus said, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but the one who humbles himself will be exalted. Number one, who are you fooling when you step into the throne room of grace to speak to the Father about how good you're doing? Right? Like, he knows. But that isn't a place of you coming just to feel inadequate, to feel inadequate. When we get raw with the Lord, I don't know how many of you have been called in your sin. It's one of those rare occasions when you are dead caught in your sin and you know it. You're not arguing it. You can't even talk your way out of it. And you come boldly and weepingly and ugly crying back to the throne of grace. And the words are kind of like this. Jesus, I am such a mess. I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to get here again. I don't know how I got here again. I don't know what happened, but I'm sorry, I'm wrong. And Jesus said, that is the heart of a justified man. Because he's broken, he's empty, and he knows it. And the place you go, listen, everybody's broken and empty. It's where your knees lead you back to that shows the difference. Men and women who could come to be busted like this guy. He's a tax collector. Everybody hates him. He rips his stuff and he says, God, I'm a sinner. And Jesus says, that's my man. That's my girl. We have to get over the lies that this time of prayer is not a place for us to bring our brokenness and grumbling. C.H. Spurgeon said, true prayer is measured by weight, not by length. For those of you who don't like to pray out loud greatly, this is for you. A single groan before God may have more fullness of prayer in it than a fine oration of great things. Have you ever just pray a groan before? Like they're scriptural, like the Holy Spirit intercedes and he prays for us and when our mouths don't know what to say with groans. Like you ever just, maybe I won't get into my prayer life a lot, but have you ever gone, am I the only one that's ever done something like that in here? You just don't have the powerful prayer life that I do, I guess. Like that. If your groans are weak, you don't know what you, no, I'm just kidding. But what is Spurgeon saying? The groan of an open, broken heart is better than a long-winded oration of skillful prayer. Right? And it's okay to bring that to the Lord. He's your dad. He knows. He's open. I'm going to move on to the prayer strengthens us to get through these broken times and end days. A couple down. Luke 21, 34 through 36. By the way, is anybody here doing well through this year of 2020 on your own? Anyone? I've really found this is a year of favor for me. Everything's been great. My mind has been good. My finances are banging. I have no anxiety. The kids are doing well. I haven't gone to jail. Right? Anybody in here that way to this year? No. Luke 21, 34 through 36 is talking about the end days, like when Jesus comes back, which is a day of awesome, great prosperity of people and hellacious judgment and death. He says, but watch yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness of the cares of life. That should be us. And that day come upon you suddenly like a trap that day. For it will come upon all who dwell on the face of the whole earth, but stay awake at all times. Listen, praying that you might have strength to escape all of these things that are going to take place and to stand before the Son of Man. I'm just taking liberty to talk about going through hard times, but if what he's telling us is we need to pray to stay awake, pray to make a stand in the days of the end days, then what should we be doing today? I cannot do this thing anymore. I can't do the Facebook thing the way I used to anymore. I can't do the Twitter stuff, which Twitter's always been lame to me, anymore. I can't do it anymore. Here's what's going to happen to Rob Danz in 10 years if I stay on the track of trying to go through this earth in my own. I will burn out. I will fall off the face of what I've been called to do. I will disrupt God's heart and harmony for my house because I'm so overwhelmed with anxiety. The only way out for me, and it's a good way out, it's the only good way out, is prayer. To become a man of prayer that grows in prayer, that loves prayer, that prays for the church, prays for God to intercede in our neighborhoods. This neighborhood's not lost. This country's not lost. God's the one who dictates that. I'm the one who prejudges early and shuts things down. The nations aren't closed. The poor, all of the poor aren't going to always be disregarded in every scenario. Racism's not always going to be a thing. Jesus reigns. Jesus is over it. And when I don't pray, it's my way. When I pray, it's his way. And it's the only way out. If you needed any other reason, you didn't do it before in prosperity, well, I didn't pray very much because things were okay. Guess what? God's knocking. He's saying, come on. Come on, families. Come on, Rob. Come on, church. Pray. So as we flip this, there's a million things on prayer. I've preached series on prayer. And so what do we do about prayer? Just some simple things. Number one, we need to walk in victory over what keeps us from praying. What, literally, have a conversation with yourself. What keeps you from prayer? Is it, and I'm going to talk about a few of these in a minute, but is it just laziness? Is it fear? Is it doubt? Is it faithlessness? I mean, whatever it is, call it what it is. You can't fight an enemy you refuse to identify, right? So whatever the enemy is that you identify, move on. If you don't, if it's because you didn't know you could pray, then guess what? Now you know. If you don't know, now you know. If you think you're unworthy, guess what? You are. That's the amazing part of grace in the scriptures and the gospel. Now you have been made worthy to be able to be in his presence, right? If you don't know how, you can learn. Why would you say, I don't know how to pray, and use that for 20 years of not to have conversations with the King, the Lord your God? You can grow. You're not silly because you don't know how to pray. You become ridiculous when you refuse to learn how to pray, because it's the access to the kingdom. And if you're lazy, let's just be honest. If you're predetermined with your phones, like me, you get up in the morning, whoop, 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 right? I've got to get on Facebook and represent the kingdom. Hold on. Right? Some of y'all are laughing. Some of y'all are guilty. Identify it. And here's what the scripture says. Remove anything that hinders your prayers. And I just put this list. I'm not going to go through. Here's some things scripturally that talk about hindering our prayers. Number one, selfishness in James 4:3. You ask and you do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your own passions. When we start to pray selfishly, it hinders prayer. Unforgiveness. And whenever you stand praying in Mark 11, forgive. If you have anything against anyone, so that your Father is also who in heaven may forgive you, may forgive your trespasses. If you're asking for forgiveness, but you're walking in unforgiveness, guess what? You need to forgive in the same measure that you're asking forgiveness, right? It hinders your prayer. Unconfessed sin. Isaiah 59:2, your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God. There is grace. You don't lose your salvation because you sinned this week, but you will lose your closeness if you do not bridge the gap in prayer and confession and repentance. Amen? Prayer works when we're walking in obedience. Faithlessness. Man, James 1:5-8 is a humdinger. Everybody say humdinger. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting. For the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. For that person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in his ways. So, scripturally, here's the question. If you don't have faith to pray for the thing that you're praying for, what should you do? Pray for faith, right? Like, God, I'm having a hard time asking you this because I don't know if you're going to heal her. I don't know if you're going to change our city. I'm having a hard time thinking you can do it. And then great. Then you have another step in front of you, and that is, but God, I love you and I believe you and I trust you, and God, give me a measure of faith to believe what I'm praying. God, help me. Again, it's a systematic problem, not having the faith to fulfill your prayers, and not that your faith is the one that fulfills them. It's your trust in the one who fulfills the prayers that makes the difference, right? That's a dangerous theology where if you have enough faith, everything happens right. That's not what that says. It's faith in him, the one you are asking. Here's a funny one that doesn't apply to anybody in this room. A broken relationship, specifically in the scriptures, it says between a husband and a wife. Thank God I've nailed this one all these years. 1 Peter 3:7, likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way, showing honor to the woman as the weaker vessel, since they are heirs with you in the grace of life. Listen, so that your prayers may not be hindered. Dudes. Gentlemen, and I'm sure it applies the other way around. Some of you wives are like, your spouse, right? Your spouse, if you don't honor your spouse, you don't serve your spouse, you live in divisiveness and broken opportunities with your spouse, the scriptures, Peter just made it clear, something is going to hinder your prayers. Why? Well, how important is marriage to the Lord? It is a picture of a man and a woman of in God, how they relate to each other is how Christ relates to us. Some of y'all need to have some conversations today. And here's the last thing I want to tell you is, Scripture's clear about pray always. I heard Thomas Kincaid once say, the great painter, that he failed in prayer, but so he decided to quit making prayer this once-a-time daily thing, which I believe it should be also a once-a-time daily thing. But he said, I just started learning how to walk around and pray for everything. And if I ran into somebody who needed prayer, I wouldn't say, I'll pray for you. He says, let's pray. He said, and if I walked into a situation that was beyond me, which every situation was beyond me, I would pray as I walked into the door. Learning to have conversational prayer with God. Number one, knowing you can. Number two, knowing you're invited. Number three, knowing there's power there is a process that will change your life. Like we've heard stories about grown men I knew, missionaries, Kevin Johnson in Antioch, where Carl asked him one time, another pastor asked him one time, like, how do you stay connected to God? He says, it sounds funny, but I just put my hand out like this when I'm driving in the car by myself. He says, why on earth do you put your hand out like that when you're in a car by yourself? He's like, because I pretend and I believe that I'm holding the hand of Jesus and he's with me and I talk to him. He's like, you might think it's funny, but that's when prayer and conversation with the King comes alive for me. Right? So I'd love to see all of you walking out of here today. He walks with me and talks with me alone. Right, Jesus? Jesus, we don't care if they're looking at us like that. That might end you up in a padded room, but praise God. 1 Thessalonians 5:16-18, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, pray without ceasing. There's a problem in your marriage, pray without ceasing. If you're young and having a hard time with staying single, pray in without ceasing. If the world is going to hell in a handbasket, pray without ceasing. When you're walking throughout the day and it's a good day, pray without ceasing. Talk to him, stop orating to him. Have a conversation with the God who will take every step and bless it and leads it and knows every hair on your head. Pray always. And I just end with this. As a church, we have to put prayer at the forefront of everything we do. And we try, and we have. But man, the more we pray together and for one another, the stronger and the more fruitful we will become. Corporately, this will be a house of prayer. And I know that people are like, hey, we need more prayer services. I agree, that's a part of it. But that is not really being a house of prayer only. A house of prayer is when God's people go out of their way, the house of God, and make sure that everywhere they go together, every time we go into worship, every time we go into healing, every time we go into battles, every time we take each other by the hand and we say, or not in COVID, whatever that is, and we pray. Amen? The drive-by prayer request thing should be a thing of the past. Praying for you, dog. Right? How helpful is that to you? That's usually a cry for, I'm too busy to stop and feed into your life. Or number two, I am super insecure and I don't know how to do that. That's what that means. And those things need to stop. Amen? Let me say this again. Our big point. The old boom, as you would say. I got bored with the boom. We are a people who believe, love, and walk in the power of prayer. Y'all, we need Jesus in such a desperate way. We need the power of God in this place. We're doing good, but we want more, and it's never going to happen without prayer. We want the nations and we want more, but it's never going to happen without prayer. We want to see generations of disciples made. It's never going to happen without us being serious about prayer.